Speaker is me, and I will introduce me. In my day job, I'm a nutritional epidemiologist with the Brown University Institute for Community Health Promotion. With regard to public health, I'm the chair of the Advocacy Committee for the Rhode Island Public Health Association, and I'm also very involved with my section, the Food and Nutrition section, and in that capacity, I'm on the Action Board. And so I'm really excited that so many of you are here and thinking about advocacy, and I urge you to think about advocacy at many different levels, as I mentioned when I opened this session. But today I'm going to talk about engaging policymakers, and different from the previous two speakers, I'm going to talk about engaging policymakers or a mechanism by which our Public Health Association in Rhode Island has established a relationship with lawmakers. I also am not being paid by anybody for my public health work with regard to the Public Health Association. I have no financial disclosures to discuss. So the Rhode Island Public Health Association was actually not founded in 98, it was founded in 96. So very different from the Connecticut Public Health Association, we are celebrating 15 years of work, one of the last, if not the last, state public health association. Our membership is about 112, which many of you are probably thinking, are you kidding? That's so small. But 96 are regular members. We also have 11 student members and 5 retired members. I urge you to think about Rhode Island just a little bit when you think about how small 115 members really are. So we're that tiny little dot next to Connecticut, below Massachusetts, population just over a million, and 1,200 square miles. And essentially, my point is, you know, we're really a county in the rest of the country and any other state. So we're very proud of our Public Health Association, and per capita, we do pretty well. With that said, I'm going to switch gears and talk about the Public Health Think Tank, which is the entity that was created for this relationship. So the Public Health Think Tank was created by statute in 2006, meaning that the both the Senate and the House within the Rhode Island General Assembly passed a resolution creating the Public Health Think Tank. And that essentially said that all members of the Rhode Island General Assembly, so both the House and the Senate, and all members of our Public Health Association are part of this Public Health Think Tank. We had champions, Representative Elizabeth Dunnigan and Senator Daniel Issa, who were involved in setting up this Public Health Association in 2006. I will note that neither of the two are still in office, which is part of the lessons. You need to stay on your toes and have relationships with many people, not just key champions at the moment. And on the left is me. On the right is Elizabeth Dunnigan, who was really the leader in the General Assembly in helping to get this going. So the mission of the Public Health Think Tank is to facilitate collaboration between scientists, advocates, and legislators when prioritizing and promoting health issues. Rhode Island Public Health Association members are available to assist legislators with health policy research and issues. So the idea is we're a resource. We are a convener. We recognize that public health is very, very broad. And unlike the presentations from Colorado and Connecticut, we've really had a difficult time choosing just one issue or even three issues that we want to be active on. And we're very concerned with a small organization. Will we alienate people within our own organization if we choose one issue? Will everyone else who's not actively involved in that issue cease to be involved with our association? So we have chosen a more broad approach to try to be available as a resource for the General Assembly. So the forum is our major event for the Public Health Think Tank, and this is really kind of the big deal for the Public Health Think Tank in past years. And it's really an event to bring together all the members of the Public Health Think Tank, so both legislators and our members, and then also other advocates in the community, other advocates on public health issues. So the way that this happens is we start somewhere around this time of year, literally in the next couple of weeks, we will send out an invitation to advocates to submit an abstract to the Public Health Association. And so we send out a form, we send it to 98, roughly around 100 advocacy organizations in Rhode Island. We do not include direct service organizations or clinical service organizations either. We're really dealing with organizations that advocate on public health issues and seek to make policy change. Included with that ask is a cheerleading letter really talking about how the public health think tank is working hard to keep public health in the foremost in the minds of legislators, and also inviting the advocacy organization to send us an abstract telling us about their public health issues, what they're working on. It could be a specific bill that they're introducing, but it also could be just advocacy priorities in more of a general sense. 98 we send out, we get back about 13. Not really strong, but they're very strong advocacy organizations that submit, but something to think about. This is what the form looks like. The form, the look of the form is only important because the abstracts are then compiled into a booklet. And the concept there is to bring together this information about advocacy organizations that includes details about the advocacy that they would like to complete, but also to be a resource for policymakers in terms of the contact information for that advocacy organization, and to also be a resource for advocacy organizations with each other so that there can be more networking and learning from one another and building on each other's successes. So we provide one to each legislator through the staff offices. We also had extras created to give out at our public health other events throughout the year, and to continue to reinforce the Public Health Think Tank and the Public Health Association as a convener and as a resource to the community. All right, for the event, we send out invitations to VIPs. In Rhode Island, truly, I mean, everybody knows everybody. You've heard 6 degrees of separation. It's like two in Rhode Island. And so there are a lot of the same cast of characters, which may be the same way in other states. So the governor, lieutenant governor, and the lieutenant governor has especially been very active on public health issues in our state. Director of Department of Health, Health and Human Services, all legislators, and also the presidents of hospitals, although arguable, we could argue whether or not they're really involved in public health, but anyway, I'm sure they are to some degree. Certainly all the advocacy organizations, all of the members of our Public Health Association, and also our full mailing list. So we call those members and friends, people who might not be actual members at the moment. We have a database of closer to 400 people who have been involved at one point or another. And then also local schools of public health. Well, that's kind of a misnomer. The only school of public health in Rhode Island is Brown, and I work there. So we certainly invite everyone at Brown, but we also invite the faculty and students at University of Rhode Island and other schools in the area that have health programs. So the location of this event is at the State House. The date is somewhere in the beginning of the legislative session, close to when all of the bills have been introduced, close to the deadline when all of the bills have been introduced. So this is generally the last week in January or first week in February. The time is in the afternoon before the rise, meaning all rise, at the beginning of the legislative session. And that's usually between 1 and about 4 in the afternoon. And I say this because we have toyed with lots of different options. Should we hold it somewhere else? Should we hold it a different time of day that's more convenient for advocates, that's more convenient for our own members? Should we have a half-day session, you know, somewhere else? But we're really focusing on bringing the legislators to the event. We offer a little bit of food. We've tried lunch. We've had snacks. We also have had a fee discounted for students, but fee for attending. So the way the actual forum has occurred is we've had a welcome by the lieutenant governor and also the director of the Department of Health virtually every year that we've had this. We're working on our fifth forum. We have also had a keynote speaker, and the keynote speaker has varied. We've had someone from the Attorney General's office. We've had Massachusetts lawmakers who were successful in crafting health reform. We've also had our Dean for Public Health from Brown overview national health reform. We've also invited public health advocates, specific advocates who we think were very successful in advocacy in Rhode Island. We've also toyed with several other formats for the rest of the session. We've had presentations by advocates who submitted an abstract. We've also had poster sessions, which I'll talk about the success or lack thereof of the poster sessions. And in every forum, we've had a panel discussion inviting legislators to come and speak at the event and to have a discussion about public health issues. So this is just what the room looks like and what it looks like, especially with some of our legislators attending, and each got up and gave a little extemporaneous spiel about public health and what health means to them, and took questions from advocates and other folks, Rhode Island Public Health Association members and students, had a nice, interesting exchange. It's not a huge group. Again, I mentioned Rhode Island's a little small, but it was a great opportunity, I think, for many advocates and also members to have conversation with legislators. Another example of it was a different room we had one particular year, but some of the panel discussions. So we've also had some press work that we've tried to work on press for this. We've had a media advisory before the event talking about the day and time. We've had a press release after the event and highlighted important quotes. Internally, we've worked with the newsletter, website, Facebook, Twitter, and so forth to get the word out about what we're doing. So I think most importantly, we've learned a lot from this, and we're still continuing to revise the format of the forum. One thing for sure we've learned, that we need to have early discussion with lawmakers, and as the turnover is somewhat frequent, it's important to identify champions early and to really think about who's a leader. Sometimes a person who's a real champion for public health may be very junior and not know enough of the other legislators to bring them on board. We were so lucky initially to have Representative Dennegan, who seemed to know absolutely everybody, and really she was so instrumental in bringing people, bringing other legislators to the forum. So it's important to not only have people who are very gung-ho, but also people who are somewhat connected. Also, from the legislator perspective, it's important to have the invitation for legislators come from the champion. It makes they're less responsive to an advocacy organization like ours. However, legislators really enjoy speaking in front of a microphone and a camera. So we have Capital TV be there, and we've really toyed with the setup. Should we, you know, can we invite all of the legislators to come to listen to the different advocacy organizations? And honestly, they really don't care to be educated. They really do not care to come to listen to best practices or to listen to advocacy organizations. They like to come and speak in front of the camera. I hate to sound shallow, but that's been our experience. Also, the timing. It's important to not have the event happen during spring break for either local colleges or school districts, and it's also not helpful to have it during too early in the day. We have a part-time legislature, so they show up and the rise is at 4:30 in the afternoon and the sessions go into the evening. So we really cannot have an event that's a completely different time of day. Virtually all of our legislators have other jobs and aren't going to be there. So we need to make it convenient for them. Some of the other lessons learned, and we're still learning, are with our advocates and how to really get as many advocates there as possible. Our advocates always say, I wish we had more time for networking. But then when we make time for networking, they don't come. So I don't know if you've experienced this, but it's an ongoing issue. So we would like to have that time, because we really think that's a very valuable part of what happens during the forum. But making time for a social time is not something that advocates probably can prioritize in their very busy days. And included in that was the poster session. We'd really hope to have posters put up by different advocacy organizations and have each of them hand out materials to one another as well as to the legislators, and they really just did not respond to that. They came in some cases, but not with a poster and not with materials. So we're rethinking that piece of it. We're also working to keep that database up to date. As you can imagine, advocacy organizations also have a lot of turnover, and we need to have recent contacts with key advocacy organizations. After the deadline for submission, we always have a real deadline that's a week later, and we go back and call the organizations to really touch base, and the personal contact makes a big difference. But the real benefit to this forum has been that exchange with the legislators. I think that's been the most important and the most popular piece of what's come out of our forum. The big booklet that we produce is quite a bit of work, and the question is how do we make it more comprehensive, not only 13 out of 98 organizations, but maybe all 98 out of 98 organizations, and how do we make it more useful? We're just trying to decide if it's something that anyone really opens and uses later. Is it something that really we should have online and have updated in more of an ongoing sort of way, so then that we would have an online resource and maybe, you know, kill fewer trees in the process. The other thing is certainly a fee is a deterrent. In advocacy organizations, certainly folks who work for advocacy organizations don't have a lot of extra money to come to events like this. It's hard enough to spend a couple of hours during the middle of the day, but if there's also a fee, we really think that's a deterrent, and we'll likely not have a fee at all this year. We're looking for a sponsor. Provision of refreshments is a good idea, a little bit, but lunch is not necessary, and it's one way to really reduce costs. So that's the end of my presentation.